Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
I have just a minute here because I got to go get on an airplane and go fly and do American Idol, which is far away today. So I have a 12-hour flight, which the question is, who controls the window if you're in the window seat?
You.
I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not 100%. Some people think if you're in the row...
Nope.
No, you have no control.
No. You're only in control if you're at the window.
And recently I sat window so I can lean my head up against it.
Yeah.
But the person next to me is like, hey, can you put that window up? Can you put it down? Is it okay if they ask or is it just not theirs to even ask?
I wouldn't even ask, but I guess they can. It's nice of them to ask, but they definitely can't reach over and do anything.
On longer flights, I've started to sit in the aisle, which I never do because I have to pee so much now.
Yeah.
Because I always drink a bunch of water and I hate waking people up.
Look at us. We're getting old because I used to always be window and now I'm like, oh, I better do the aisle.
I know. Especially if I'm flying with American Idol and they're going to, because they'll put me in first class when they're flying me to LA and I'll sit on the aisle because those seats are all the same anyway. They're bigger and they're nicer.
Yeah.
But the bad thing is about you can't lean your head over to the window. And so I'll just let me get the aisle because I got to pee the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're all on the same page there, right?
Yeah.
There was a story about someone that parked in front of a fire hydrant. You know what happens when you park in front of a fire hydrant and there's a fire?
Yeah, they can't get to the water.
They smash your windows out of the car and put the hose through your car.
Yes, that's
Is that real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real.
Wow.
Both
they can't get to it, and if they can't tow it real quick, what are they going to do? Bang it out of the way so they bust the windows.
There's a car right outside our building that parks in front of the hydrant.
Oh,
every
all
day.
The time, and
you
I
should
can't
bust
see.
The windows.
Okay, and just say the fire department.
Yeah, be like that. You just messed them.
I'm going to have a wreck leaving here one day. Anybody else?
Oh, gosh. Every day.
Like,
I
just
smashed.
Like pray that like hope a car's not coming.
I get the bird every day when I get out because I didn't see them coming.
Well, they have cars blocking the road. To be fair.
If the car was in front of that fire hydrant, we'd have more visual.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It's that car.
There is a bunch of cars on the side of the road and we have to pull out into the road.
Yeah.
But I have Tim, our security guy.
Well, lucky
stop
you.
Stop traffic?
Not stop traffic, but he just looks around the cars.
Man.
And it's like, all right, you're clear. If you leave around me, just do that too.
Okay. Sometimes I guess he has done that for me, but it's scary. It's
stressful, man.
It's like the scariest part of my day is leaving work.
And then not only that, like
you're
one
stupid.
Time.
You're so stupid. It's not true. The scariest part of your day is leaving work. Stop it.
It is.
What?
No, one time I was looking for the traffic coming on the left side. So I go and there's a bike coming from the right side and he squirts his water at me because I almost hit him.
Oh, yeah. He squirted his water at you?
Yes. He threw it at my car.
He's coming the wrong way down a one-way road.
I was like, dang, I got to look left now. I got to look right.
Once when I was in Austin, this car almost hit me. This bike almost hit me. He was in the wrong. And I'm driving a rental car. And then he drives up beside me with his phone and starts filming me with his phone.
Okay.
And I was like, first of all, you're wrong, but I have no way to prove it. And then second, what's he going to do? Put me on his Instagram? Like, this car almost... He didn't, I don't think. Did he ever?
I don't think so. We never found him.
I was pissed. I was like... And then I was, there was a section where I got mad. I was going to yell at him, and then I was like, "Well, that makes the video worse."
Right.
So I just slouched in my chair and I tried to not be on the video.
Yeah.
But then I look guilty doing that too. Yeah, you got to be careful. I try to watch for cyclists. Being someone who would train riding bikes, however, if they're coming the wrong way, they can't squirt water on you.
She squirt water at me, and I was like, "Oh." Never had that happen to me.
I'll give you one final story. Justin Bieber was worried he couldn't be a faithful husband. So he was afraid to propose to Haley Baldwin. He finally said, I'm going to make the decision to follow through and I will be a husband. He was nervous about proposing because he wasn't sure he could be faithful. The reason that it reminded me to look up Justin Bieber stuff was I started to look at his Drew line of hoodies.
Yeah. Did you buy any?
They're all sold out, basically.
Yeah, oh, wow. Like a lot of them.
It's really cool. I don't know if I can pull it off.
No,
I can.
It's for you being you. That's what Drew's all about.
I know.
You can't worry about what anybody else is going to think.
I would wear it if it was gifted to me. Then I could be like, oh, it was a gift. But buying it, maybe, I don't know, maybe a little too much. That's it. We're going to go. I'm going to go, and we'll be back tomorrow. But
I know you're going to work, but I'm a little jealous you're going to Hawaii. Gosh, it's so
cool. But he's going to be working. Even like our friends they're our friends, but they work with you. So they're like other people are going. And I'm like, y'all are going to have so much fun. They're like, actually, it's like all work all the time.
Well, here's who goes. Me and my little team is me, Kelly from Velvet's Edge, because she goes and she's my stylist. Mm-hmm. And she does clothes and hair and makeup and all that for TV because she can do it all. And Morgan, number one, who I believe left yesterday.
Wow, that's such a long flight. She's been chilling on the beach.
So she probably got a day. And Morgan, number one, since she did radio, can now do the radio stuff. So she'll get me to a studio. She knows how it works. Where last year, Mike D went with me, And he's lived his whole best Hawaii life the whole time.
I saw that on Instagram.
Morgan number one has to be with me on set.
Yeah.
But last year, Mike D wouldn't be on set, so he would just wait for me to finish and do radio. And he would go shoot Instagram, be on the beach for like 9 hours. Like literally paid for his trip because I needed somebody to produce the show out there. And literally he would just wait and play all day and then go do like, you know, 4 or 5 hours in the studio and then go back and play in Hawaii. And the time's really weird out there. Like we're 4 hours behind in Hawaii. So when... It's
maybe five.
No, I think it's.
I believe it's four.
Oh, yeah, you've been. Okay.
It's four.
From, oh, good question. From our time?
Yeah.
I thought it was five.
Because it's two to California and then two more to Hawaii.
Hmm.
Don't challenge me.
Where are the lines on
I'm
the ocean?
I'm Mr. Calendar. You fly over them.
Really?
Yeah, the pilot often goes, look down there, you see a time zone line? And you look over it.
It's neon.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, wow. Amy's fact checking me. It's four.
It's five, right, Amy?
Okay.
Because I have to be there.
It's 5 hours behind on Central Time.
Thank you.
I don't think so.
Hey, man.
Dude, I'm looking up the internet.
Dude, I know that stuff.
I don't think so.
Mahalo.
4 hours behind on Mountain Time.
I don't think. Maybe on a.
Bra.
Spring forward or fall back.
I'm going to stick to this right now.
Okay.
That right now.
Well, right now it says it's 6:25.
Yeah, exactly. 4 hours.
Well, then why
exactly
does it say it is 4 hours?
Maybe they don't spring
behind
forward
mountain
or
time,
fall back.
5 hours behind.
They don't do daylight savings.
So depending on the time of the year,
you're not
that's
right.
The problem,
you're
bro.
Not right. You guys aren't right. It's 4 hours, like I told you. My point is
all year.
No, right now.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know what they're doing in the summer solstice, you goobers. like right now, the show starts at 5 a.m. I have to be there at 1 a.m. to go on the air.
Yeah, I got married in September, so that's what threw me off.
In what hour?
That was 5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was a different time.
You guys are so stupid.
No, we're not.
Yes,
we're
you
just
are. You're
to
arguing
understand.
With me right now, and I said it's 4 hours. And
but let's say you were going in September.
But I'm not.
It'd be five. But
I'm
we
done.
Just want to know,
you know
for
what?
The fall.
We wasted an hour having this dumb conversation.
No.
This is life, though. This
here
is what we always do.
Here is a Wednesday show. Thank you all, and goodbye.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby. Transmitting across America.
Let's go!
Hey, welcome to the show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Here we are on a Wednesday. Let's see what's happening with everybody in our segment called What's the Haps? Hey!
Hey, what's the haps?
You know, I was reading this story about living forever. It's often something I think about. Listen, you know me, I constantly think about what happens right before we die, when we die, after we die. Like, it never leaves my mind. And so, I often go, would it be cool to live forever? What do you think? What would you say?
Yeah?
Why?
Well, I mean, do we stay young? Or do we get old
again,
and live forever?
Again, it's your own thing, right?
Yeah.
I would say no, you wouldn't want to live forever, because then nothing is worth anything. If everything is always available all the time and you have a chance to do it again forever, that there's really nothing. And I'll read you the story and I'll tell you the song that this story reminds me of. They asked over 2,000 people how long they'd want to live. Almost 20% of people said they'd live forever.
Mm.
Wow.
And I think you say that without thinking. Nothing is worth anything if you live forever. Because any moment you have, just wait around. You can always go, I'll beat that one.
Yeah.
Like, there's no value if it's limitless. It's like being born super rich, which is why I never think someone born like the queen has the best life, because they don't know what it's like to struggle. So you can't appreciate what's awesome if you don't understand what isn't. So if you live forever, kind of the same thing. It's like being born rich. So 9% said 200 years old, and then it goes all the way down. I'd settle for a safe 120. It's yeah. A solid thing. But there's this song by Jason Isbell. And so it's If We Were Vampires that I listen to.
That this can't go on forever.
And it really talks about this. It's like, hey, if we were vampires, we could just go out and chill and nothing, none of this would matter. But because we're not, we have to value these moments. And I listen to the song a lot. And it's like, hey, I'll be gone. So that's what it says here. So we should really appreciate this, because one day, it's a really beautiful song about not being able to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
So here, turn that up, Raymundo.
We go out on the sidewalk in the snow and laugh at all the lovers in their plans. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I'll work hard till the end of my shift and give you every second.
Anyway, seeing that story this morning made me think about that song there that I listen to a lot whenever I'm really thinking about life.
That's deep, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. If We Were Vampires, Jason Isbell. So what would you pick? Now after you've heard all that spiel, Amy's like, 1 year. I would love to be one. And now everything is valued that much more. Well, go ahead.
I'll take 90.
Okay. 12% said between 80 and 90 years old.
Okay.
That was on my mind this morning. Yeah. Thank you. It's a deep morning.
Heavy morning.
It's a deep morning. Well, I read the story and it made me think about that. Over to Amy. Hey!
Hey! What's the hacks?
Mine's not that deep, but it'll come in handy. So how do you like to order your burger when you're going out to eat? You're at a restaurant and they're like, do you want that medium or well?
Burgers, I just say, because I think the standard is medium. So just bring me whatever you cook. Burgers.
Yeah. Burgers.
Yeah, for steak,
not
it's
a steak,
different.
Steak, a burger.
A cooked steak. Yeah.
Right. So my cousin married a meat scientist from Texas A&M.
Weird, never heard of that, but okay.
Shout out. And so, yeah, they were in town visiting because he was delivering, I don't know, some talk on meat at a local college or something. And he said, yeah, we were talking about how you take your burger. And he was like, oh, I always get my burger well done. If I'm out to eat or anywhere, anytime, burgers are well done. Steak, you can get however you want because, like, the bacteria lives on the outside. But when a burger is ground up, everything's put through that machine and the outside of the steak where the bacteria lives gets all mixed in. So there's no way to guarantee you're cooking that part off. And he's like, I just do not want to risk it. I would never want to take that risk of getting sick. So burgers, well done. It still can be juicy, still can have flavor. Don't feel like you're going to lose that. But I always advise people to cook their burgers well done.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought about it.
So even a rarely cooked steak, the outside gets cooked.
It's fine,
and that's where the bacteria
lives on the outside. But when you put it through a machine and mush it all together, all that bacteria gets mixed.
And so hamburgers, you want to make sure that middle is super cooked.
Yes.
I feel like you're Bill Nye-ed right here.
For sure. And this came from
too.
A meat scientist.
I was like mind blown.
And who knew there was a meat scientist,
yeah,
right?
I know.
Over to Lunchbox. Hey.
Hey, what's the hacks?
Strangers are so weird. So my wife and I went to eat the other night and she's walking out of the bathroom and there's a lady walking in and she sees my wife's pregnant. So she grabs my wife's belly and puts both hands on there and is like, wow, what are you having, a boy or a girl? She goes, oh, we don't know yet. And she goes, hold on. You're having a boy. I can just feel it.
Oh, wow.
The boy's going to be hairy. And
well, that's right. She probably looked at the dad.
Yeah.
And she goes, and you've been suffering from heartburn, haven't you? And my wife's like, yeah, I have. She goes, yeah, I've only been wrong once in my life. So, yeah, congratulations on your baby boy.
Oh, wow.
Were you more excited that she said it was going to be another boy, or were you more weirded out that she grabbed your wife's belly and gave you that whole story?
I was more weirded out that she grabbed my wife's belly. I just don't know what in someone, a stranger's mind, thinks, you know what? Because I see a pregnant belly, I can just grab it. Like, she didn't say anything. She just goes, oh, and grabs the belly. Didn't ask, hey, do you mind if I touch your belly?
Amy, thoughts?
Yeah, I don't touch people that are pregnant that I don't know.
I just would be worried she wouldn't be pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, you grab her, and you're like, is it a boy? And she's like, no, I'm just...
It's a sandwich.
You know, yeah. I got a little too much in the Popeyes.
Yeah, I just... Even people that I know, I try to be respectful of their belly, because my friends that aren't pregnant, I'm not walking up and touching, like, her stomach when she's not pregnant. So just because there's a baby in there, I don't know.
Well, congratulations on your second boy.
Thank you so much. Wow. Yeah, it's a boy.
And you guys aren't finding out before you have the
baby.
Correct. But they just found out.
We just found out, kind of.
Yeah.
She's only been wrong once in her life.
But she's only done it one other time, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Hey.
Hey. What's the hat?
Eddie.
So our foster baby just turned one recently. So my wife and I are going to do something really interesting. And it was her idea. And I thought it was a little strange at first. But now I'm on board. But she wants to take our foster baby back to the hospital where we picked him up at, because we picked him up as a newborn at the hospital, and she wants to kind of just show him to the NICU nurses, just to show, like, look at this baby, look how awesome this baby has turned out. Because we found out recently that our foster baby, when he was born, he was positive for 5 drugs in his system. They were really monitoring him 24/7 because they were scared that he wasn't going to make it from his withdrawals. And so the fact that he is just so big and healthy and crawling around, I think it could be pretty cool to take him back to the hospital and show the nurses.
And I think, first of all, to do that job, that's a special thing. So these nurses, to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's their passion, is to help babies.
Right.
But I think, again, everybody needs inspiration. And if you take it back and, like, look at this. Like, I think it will be good for them.
Yeah.
To see a baby come back that had been there, and, like, what the good work that they're doing is paying off.
Yeah. And they may not recognize him or remember him, but I think it'd be cool just to, yeah, like you said, remind them.
I think that's great. Wow. Like, people are calling you on text and Instagram Super Dad. I'm just letting you know, that's kind of your new nickname.
Okay.
I didn't create it.
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
Margie in Arkansas is on the phone. Hey, Margie, what's happening with you?
Hi. Hi, Bobby. Morning, studio.
Morning. Morning.
I was wondering what your therapist said yesterday.
Interesting.
Good question.
Well, so here's what happened. My therapist was gone for 3 weeks. And just a backstory, I'd stopped going to therapy for a while, but what I realized was, not just in this situation, but in life, I think that if you don't change, nothing will change. And so I had to make a change, and I wanted to go, and I would like to be in a relationship, a healthy-ish relationship. And I wasn't doing the right things to get in one. I was sabotaging myself constantly. And so I started going to this relationship therapist. That's what she does. She works with couples, but I go by myself. I was her only solo, I still am her only solo client. And so we've been working. I've been putting in the work. I started to treat therapy like I do my job. I get there every time, on time. I focus on it after I'm done. I'm always thinking about it. And so I've been slowly improving a lot of what's happening in my brain and challenging things more than anything. And so yesterday was a big day because I was going to tell her. It's been 3 weeks. I was going to tell her that I have a girlfriend now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we've been working toward in a way. Not to get a girlfriend, but to be open to the idea of being in a relationship. So I go in and I'm like, well, how about that? I got a girlfriend. And she was like, wow, well, isn't that surprisingly pleasant? Because I had already been telling her about the situation a bit.
Yeah.
Which is why she called me the Benjamin Buttons of relationships. Because anytime I go into something, I'm like, this is not going to work. And she goes, well, you're the opposite of people that I see. Because people come in and are like, this is the one I'm going to marry after the first date. And you're like, yeah, it's probably not going to work after the first day. But every time I would go out with this girl, more and more, I would be like, wow, I like her a little bit more. I like her a little bit more. And so she was surprised because I'd never been near that while I've known her. But it was really good. And then we talked a bit. And we talked about, like, my real struggle was, this is going to sound so dumb. And I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm in the safe room, right? I'm safe right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. I was telling her, I said, I really... Because she, the girl, my girlfriend, it's weird to call it somebody that, I just haven't said it in such a long time.
Right.
Is super funny, super pretty. And I just told her, I said, I don't really get why she likes me. Because I don't feel like I offer that much. And so we kind of worked on that a bit and challenging that. Because she's probably funnier than I am. She's prettier than I am. And I'm
She's funnier than you?
It's close.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's laugh out loud type stuff. So we worked on that. And I was like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And so...
So how do you work on that?
Well, she just starts to say stuff like, well, let's talk about who you are and how you see yourself. And she has this picture she shows me all the time. It's the beat up banana. Did I show you that picture?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, this is you! And it's a banana, and it's a perfectly yellow, healthy banana looking in a mirror, but in the mirror it sees a very beat up banana, bruised. And she's like, this is you. You see yourself so bruised and beat up. She goes, you're the healthy banana. And so, again, she doesn't convince me of anything, but my therapist does make me challenge these thoughts a bit. But that's what it was. It was actually great. And then she was like, show me a picture. And then...
Okay. And then, but does she say eventually she would like for both of y'all to come in?
No. I mean, I don't... We don't... This is like a first...
Pump the brakes. Okay. Oh, I didn't know. I mean, because she's a couples therapist. Y'all been working towards you becoming a couple, and now you're a couple.
But just now. I'm not taking somebody to therapy that we just started...
Okay, well, let me take that back. I would ask the therapist
hold
about
on.
That.
Hold on.
That's why I went...
Let me rewind. Amy, I don't know.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. Oh. She did not ask that.
Thank you.
Mostly, it was just...
responding to my question and
I reacted.
Thank you.
I'm going to peel back and I'm going to respond. I don't know to that.
Okay.
Eventually.
Yes.
Possibly.
I think it would make
probably.
Sense.
But anytime soon, I'm not quite sure. Amy, thank you for asking. I appreciate that. You're doing your job over there.
Especially if your goal is marriage and kids. Have y'all talked about that?
What way?
Not your therapist, your girlfriend.
Marriage. Well, in the, what do I want or what? We haven't talked about it as a we thing, right?
Okay.
But I do say what I want. I think at my age now, I'm 39.
Yeah. I mean, that's what... I mean, if I was her, I'd be thinking like...
I'm not goofing around with jumping in and just going like, well, I wonder what she thinks about these big issues. I would like a family and kids, and if I find the right partner to get married.
And she wants the same.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, the answer is yes.
Okay.
Because
sure. I didn't know if y'all had that. Because she might be, you might be like, oh shoot, we haven't talked about that, and she might say, oh, I don't want kids.
No, no. To me, it was like, hey, nice to meet you. Do you want kids?
Do you want to get married one day?
Do you
want,
yeah.
How many kids do you want? Yeah. Okay. I could see that. Good. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, when's the next time you see your therapist? Next week?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there was a three-week.
I think Tuesday.
I get
yeah.
buffer.
Yeah, yeah. I see her next Wednesday at 2 o'clock. So a week from today at 2 o'clock.
Next Wednesday at 2 o'clock, ask her. Be like, do you think you're ever going to want my girlfriend to come? Because she asked if Eddie or
you guys
I
are my
come.
Long-term best friends, though. That's the difference. But yes, I agree. I'm not reacting right now. But
and
I'm saying,
I said I would go, but now it'd be weird because you do have a girlfriend. Your girlfriend might be like, why?
To you, it wasn't about relationship. To
oh,
you,
I know.
It was to bring in that banana comparison. She's like, if you bring in Amy and let her tell you how she really feels about you, like what kind of person you are to her, you're hopefully not going to see you as that bruised banana anymore. That was the whole thing with you. It wasn't from back when we used to date.
Shoot, I don't have to drive over there to do that.
By the way, we did. Amy didn't jump off that. We did not date everyone. Did you not hear what I said?
No, what did you say?
I said it's not from back when we used to date. Oh. We've never dated. That was a joke.
No.
Okay, Margie, do you feel good about that explanation? Is there any question you'd like to ask?
I feel good about it, and I agree with you. I think that you should wait as far as taking her to therapy right now, since it is a new relationship.
Amy wants me to introduce her at therapy. I have a girlfriend. Come on down!
I'm not saying. Well, first of all, I assume your girlfriend knows you've been going to couples counseling when you are a couple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am not embarrassed of me. Hold on. I'm going to say this, right? I'm not embarrassed when I work out my body. I'm also not embarrassed when I work out my mental health, too.
Love
I
it.
Think that
it,
both healths are extremely valuable and equally as valuable.
And I love when you say that out loud because I think it's important for other people to hear, for sure.
Yes.
I guess I was just curious what all you had disclosed to her. And then I don't think there's any harm. I don't think you should take her, but I don't think there's harm in asking the therapist. So at what point would you consider her coming in?
For your sake, I'll ask.
Thank you.
As long as she doesn't charge me double.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good point. Have you been getting a discount since you're only half?
Great question.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Margie, any question you have really quick before we have to go?
I think you answered everything for me. Thank you.
All right.
You,
this is your one shot. No, any question at all?
I know.
Yeah,
this is my one shot.
Y'all have the good questions. So y'all should text them in or call in. Because y'all think of things that we don't sometimes.
That's why sometimes I'll be like, okay. And that's really why I do this. That's why I say, if you have a question, call the show. Because I could do 7 hours of content every day that we have prepared for the show. I could just be blah, 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 blah. But if I don't open my ears to what people want to know, sometimes I'll miss out on the questions that our people.
Oh, totally. We don't want y'all sitting in your car like, oh, I wish they would address this.
Yes, that's exactly it.
But how are we supposed to know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Margie, hope you have an awesome day. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon. Okay, Margie?
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. We're good.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Okay. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
Mike D is telling me a minute ago that I had said on the show, let me see here. Everyone gets to ask Bobby one question about his girlfriend. Tomorrow? You want to do that tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is that what the people are asking for? Mm-hmm. Okay, around this time tomorrow, we'll do that.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Raymundo, what you got?
Yeah, they brought some of the Americans back. About 1,000 are still stuck in China near the coronavirus. Many of them are hoping to get seats on a U.S. government chartered flight expected to leave today. In California, investigators did find an iPad and cell phone at the site where Kobe Bryant's helicopter crashed. They hope to be able to analyze them. And finally, a magnitude 7.7 earthquake hit between Cuba and Jamaica. National Weather Service initially issued a tsunami threat but called off the alert.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Hot Country Nights.
In studio with Dierks Bentley's band, Hot Country Nights. So lead singer is Doug Douglasson.
That's me.
So people that are just listening in their cars right now, what would you like to tell them about your band, Hot Country Nights?
Well, we're the fourth or fifth greatest cover band to ever come out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We've been doing this for 30 years. Everybody's stolen from us. To give you a little idea, Blake Shelton used to have a mullet and he had to cut it off because Americans, we actually own trademarked the mullet. We're the first ones to do that. Everyone's been ripping us off. We're finally getting our chance thanks to Dirks Gently, or what's that guy's name? Dirk Brantley, some country modern guy likes us. So gave us our shot. We're finally getting a chance to do what we do, which is rock.
And how did you guys get in touch with Dirks Bentley, the guy that's producing your record?
I gave him a real inspirational speech back in like 94. He was getting ready to leave town, and he saw us playing over at Teasers.
What's Teasers?
What is that?
It's kind of like a poor man's Hooters down in Murfreesboro. The girls wear like racing stripe tops. Anyway, we play there two for Tuesdays, and he saw us, and I guess I gave him a real inspirational speech or something, and he decided to stick around town. He's had some success, and he's now producing our album, but really we kind of produce ourselves.
Hot Country Nights are here now. It's Dirks Bentley's band, although Dirks is not saying he's in the band. It's Doug Douglasson. Okay, you guys are going to cover something, right?
Yeah, let's do we'll do some Tritt or some Jackson or something. I don't know. Let's go, boys.
Hey, guys, so because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore. But you can go to BobbyBones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to BobbyBones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff. Mr. Bobby
Bones. Do we clap?
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know what to do.
Someone went too long in the... who did that?
Dirks Bentley's band, Hot Country Nights.
Come on.
Great to see you guys.
Good to see you.
There they are. Clap your hands, I think. Everywhere they are. It's the
Bobby Bones Show. I love this story. It's from 1996. Every once in a while, we have to dust off this segment on This Day in Country Music.
The Bobby Bones Show.
On This Day in
Country Music.
Because today in 1996, which is 24 years ago, Garth Brooks refused to accept the AMA and said that Hootie and the Blowfish should get it. Now, here's what happened. At the American Music Awards, Garth refused to accept Favorite Artist of the Year. They're like, and the winner is Garth Brooks. And he gets up and he's like, I can't agree with this. It should have gone to Hootie and the Blowfish. By the way, here's a hook of If Tomorrow Never Comes from Garth Brooks, in case you're not familiar with the guy. So that night, Garth had already won for Favorite Country Male Artist for the fifth year in a row. And his greatest hit compilation, The Hits, won Favorite Country Album. He went up, accepted the two awards, was like, thank you very much. But when he was announced as Favorite Artist of the Year, beating out Boyz II Men, Green Day, Hootie and the Blowfish, and TLC, he said, this is not for me. Quote, it wasn't fair for me to walk away with that award. I've been talking to retailers, and every one of them credits Hootie and the Blowfish for keeping them alive in 1995, and I couldn't agree more, so that's who I thought should have won. So they've both been on the show. I've been so fascinated with the story, I've asked them both about it. Here is Garth talking to us and confirming the story.
Sometimes you feel like, okay, maybe we do. Maybe this was our year. And then sometimes you're going, man, this wasn't our year at all. Somehow it was like a popular vote or something. And I just I felt like it got in the wrong hands that year and just kind of spoke up. And that did happen.
Crazy. And then I was talking to Darius about it. He was like my BFF. And I asked him if that award ever made it to him, who was the lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Garth's a good friend. 2 years ago, I was talking to him about it. I was telling somebody that story, and he looked over me and said, do you know what that is? And I said, where? He said, oh, my mantle.
So Garth still has it, right? It never got back to it. We should make sure that transfer happens.
That's funny.
We should make sure that. But I think that's a really great story and a real testament to who Garth Brooks is. And most of the Today in Country Music's that I really like are about Garth. I realize that. Like 80% of them are Garth stories. Yeah. Most of them are.
Bobby Bones. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
The lineup for our iHeart Country Festival was announced. Dirks Bentley, Sam Hunt, Lady Antebellum, Dustin Lynch, Kelsey Ballerini, Kane Brown, John Party, and Chase Rice will all be performing, plus special guests, Hot Country Nights, and our own Bobby Bones. Tickets go on sale Friday, February 7th. Jake Owen prefers to record songs that are upbeat, inspiring, and positive.
I've always liked songs that seem to empower happiness, right? I've just felt like by providing people with those types of, I guess, soundtracks to their day-to-day life that can be happy is a lot more fun than providing them with, like, sadness, right? There's enough of that going on in the world.
And Chris Jansen won't be watching the Super Bowl or any football games, really.
I told Paul Freundlich the same thing before for the playoff game. He was trying to get me to do this sit-down interview thing, and I was like, dude, I just do not keep up with baseball. He's like, it's football. I was like, I know, dude, I'm just messing with you, but I've never watched a football game in my life.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny. Come on.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Last year, this four-year-old Jasper in California was diagnosed with brain cancer and goes to preschool. The preschool kids were like, man, we got to do something to help Jasper. So they started a hot cocoa stand. They had garage sales. They would sell stuff in front of stores. And over the last year, they've raised $10,000 for Jasper.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dang, that's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from London, England. A 32-year-old man was running late for his flight. He was like, man, I don't want to miss the flight. So he called in a fake bomb threat, hoping the plane would get delayed and he'd be able to just get right on board.
I bet it was delayed, though. I bet he got that part right.
It was delayed, yeah. But they were able to track it to his cell phone and boom.
First rule of bomb threats is don't call from your own phone.
Yeah,
of course.
Use a payphone.
Are there even payphones anymore?
Sometimes.
Every once in a while you see one.
Man, how germy are those things?
Oh,
So what happened to this guy?
He got arrested and charged with making a bomb threat.
Well, there you go.
He missed his flight.
It was delayed, yeah. But he also wasn't on it. All right, there you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up. Woo! This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
All right, this is a very dumb game, but I'm in the mood today. I'm in the mood for dumb, simply because you're near me. This will be Name That Sound, Sounds from the Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Okay, can I get a little game music, Raymundo? Thank you very much. This is the easiest, maybe dumbest game that we play. It's called Name That Sound. They're all from the kitchen. They get harder as we go along. Our players are Amy, Lunchbox, our video producer, Eddie. Ready for sound number one?
Ready.
Here we go. Let's hear it one more time. All right. Write your answer down. What was that sound?
This is dumb.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I'm in for the win.
I'm in.
Amy, how you feeling? What do you got over there?
Biting into an apple.
Lunchbox.
Biting an apple.
Eating an apple.
There you go. Everybody's on to the second round.
All right.
Now, name this sound from the kitchen. All right, one more time. There you go. What is that sound? Amy, struggling?
I'm in for the win.
I'm in.
Let's go over to Amy. Amy, what do you think?
Filling ice in a cup.
Lunchbox?
Ice water.
Ice cubes is the answer. Eddie?
Filling a cup of ice.
We'll go with that. Good. Mike, you okay with all those answers? Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Let's go to sound number three.
Okay. Yes.
Name that sound.
I'm in for the win.
I'm in.
Okay.
Such a good sound.
I'm in.
Amy?
It's frying pan sizzle.
Yeah. Lunchbox?
Yeah, frying bacon.
Eddie?
Pan frying.
All right, I needed frying, and that's what I needed. I would take... Perfect. Bacon frying or frying pan were the two answers I would have taken. Next up.
Huh?
Ooh, we got a little harder right there.
I got like it.
We got a little harder right there. One more time, Raymundo. I think you'll all get that one.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
Lunchbox looks confused.
Can you name that one?
I have no idea. I'm guessing.
Is he doing the thing where it's like, I don't know?
Yeah, he's playing dumb.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Lunchbox, I'm in for the win. Toaster.
Yeah, of course. Amy.
So toaster.
Yeah,
toaster.
There we go.
Why do you do that?
But look, I had to scratch out because I had no idea I was pushing down something and then.
All right. Name this sound from the kitchen. I need the exact thing happening here. One more time. Here you go.
I'm in.
I'm in for the win.
In.
Amy.
Sharpening knives.
Lunchbox.
Sharpening knife.
Eddie.
I sliced my finger pretty bad doing this. Sharpening knife.
Nice. All right. We only have a couple more. Name this one.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
I didn't think the game would go this long, I'll be honest with you.
Why? You thought we'd get it wrong?
I just didn't plan for Name That Sound to go 19 minutes. One more time.
I'm in for the win.
All right. Lunchbox?
Boiling water.
Amy? Boiling water.
Eddie?
Boiling water.
I don't want to move. I don't want to keep going. Let's try another one. Here we go. Can you name that sound from the kitchen?
I'm in.
Amy?
Cracking egg.
Lunchbox?
Open a Coke can.
Oh. We lost our first one. Eddie?
Cracking an egg.
Wow. I thought that was an easy one.
Yeah, that was pretty easy.
All right, Amy and Eddie, remain. We'll go to sudden death on this one. You buzz in as soon as you know what it is.
You
Amy,
got it.
Eddie for the win. Here we go. You got to name this sound. Go.
Eddie. Cereal.
Oh.
Yeah! That's a lot of cereal, too.
I was like, rain?
That sounds like when my kids pour cereal.
Dude, it's crazy. How do you win most every game
know.
Now?
Oh, dude, I don't know, man. Just new year, new me. Come on.
I know we do make it, but you win basically every game.
Yeah, like all I do is win. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying it's crazy how good you are at these games. Wow. Okay, congratulations. I'm really into reading about sleep and how sleep affects our thinking and also the food we eat and how sharp we are when we eat the right foods. And the story that I was reading today, scientists looked at past research to see how food affects mental health. They said there were definite links in some of the areas. The Mediterranean diet. Will you look up what's in this diet? Because I'm constantly reading like this is the best diet to do.
Mediterranean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mediterranean diet was found to reduce depression symptoms. There's good evidence that keto helps children with epilepsy. And they're able to walk through a lot of these through a bunch of people doing it with a bunch of different things, good and bad, and seeing what it really affects. What they're showing is everybody's body's different, and some sugar really amplifies problems with certain kids when they have, what's Mediterranean diet?
So the foundation of it is vegetables, fruits, herbs, nuts, beans, and whole grains. Mm-hmm. And meals are built around plant-based foods, but there's also moderate amounts of like fish and a little bit of eggs, but very lean.
They say that they have found increasing evidence of a link between a poor diet and the worsening of mood disorders like anxiety and depression. Mm. So good food generally makes you feel better, which makes sense to say, but you know me, I do eat sugar. I'm not someone who totally cuts it, but sugar is going to be the thing that we find out years and years and years from now is killing all of us and making a lot of weird stuff happen to us, especially processed sugar. Mm-hmm. Not an apple. Have an apple if you want an apple.
Right.
By the way, I'll eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch occasionally. I'm not someone also living the right life. I try to live a righter life, but I'm not someone who just goes, don't do it, and I don't do it. I was reading about food. The two diets they say are best for you for general and maintaining is this Mediterranean diet, which makes sense. The best weight loss diet is
keto.
No, the intermittent fasting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because even if you don't believe that your cells are regeneration, it also just helps you know when you're eating because you eat inside of an 8-hour window.
Yeah.
And I do this a lot. I don't do it all the time, but especially if I'm getting ready for something. But because you only eat in an 8-hour window, like I eat breakfast at 9 is my first meal, 9 in the morning, and I stop eating at 5 p.m. and then I don't eat all through the night. 8 hours, that is me sleeping, hopefully. But since you know you can't eat, you don't eat. You don't throw any junk food in there because you're not allowed to have any food at all. So they say for the best weight loss results, the healthiest way, that's it. And if for the best overall lifestyle is the Mediterranean one. What are you going to say?
Oh, I had Dr. Oz on my podcast. He was actually my very first guest. And he talked about how he practices both, actually, intermittent fasting and predominantly eats the Mediterranean diet.
For me, I do intermittent fasting. I do Fit 33. It's a slightly different.
Right.
I do Fit 33, but I do that when I am trying to get to a certain spot with the keto diet. I don't do keto all the time. I don't think it's sustainable all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'll do those two at the same time, too. Well, that's interesting. But it does. Sugar's messing us all up, man. I'm not saying stop doing it. But if you can cut back 9%, it's a big win.
Yeah.
It's a big win. Get your bones on. Get your Bobby bones on. Bobby bones, yo. You know, the crazy thing for your kids this year has been they're now in real school with other real human kids.
Yeah.
Because when they came from Haiti, their English wasn't good, so they were back a bit, and they had to go to homeschool.
Yes.
So I know that's exciting for you and for them and scary and everything.
It's huge. Like, I just see their little personalities coming out even more. But yes, they're a part of like a classroom and hopefully they're making friends. And Stevenson came home from school and then I saw an invitation to a birthday party and we put it up on the fridge. And this is like the first time he's ever been invited to a birthday party that's not like my friend, my friend's kid, or a family friend, you know, a family member. It's like he came home from school with his own invitation to a birthday party. And that's like a really big deal. So I was just geeking out because that's what I want for them most right now is I want them to make friends. I really do. Like I pray for that. But it has to be organic. I can't force it. And, you know, I'm sure this is one of those things. Stevenson's only been at this school like 2 weeks. So I'm sure that every kid in the class is invited, but I don't care. Like, it's so awesome that we have the invitation up on the fridge and he got invited to a party.
How's he doing with the other kids?
He's doing well, I think. We have to talk to him again about clinging to girls. We have to have that talk.
Clinging to girls.
Well, because when he first got here, they were in a special English learning program and he had that girl Gladys that was like his girlfriend. He would hang on her or whatever. And then they did the homeschool thing for a year. And then now he's back with the girls again. And, you know, my husband went to pick him up the other day and saw him hanging on two girls, like his arm around them, like, and he loves to hug. And we'd have to talk boundaries and space and that girls may not want you to always be hugging on them.
Oh, they know. So he's small.
Yeah.
Is he smaller than the girls?
Yeah.
Is he smaller than his class?
Yes. Yeah. He's growing though. Like
he is growing.
He's growing. Yeah. Like it's crazy. Sometimes he puts on his pants and they're all high waters, but his little waist is so small that it's hard to figure out how to shop for him now, but his legs must be getting longer.
And you don't know his dad.
I do not.
So you've never seen his dad to know?
No.
The size of his dad?
Nope. Not at all. His mom is pretty small. So I don't know if he will be or if he's just going to sprout up one summer or something.
Well, congratulations. That's a big deal. That's a big human thing.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And so thank you to that mom for like inviting everybody or that kid, like the invitations. Like it just meant a lot to us. It made me think of you too, like you as a child, because I don't know that you, I don't know, it just made me wonder like if you were invited a lot of times, like, or you weren't actually, no, you weren't, and how that felt. And I just didn't know how you felt about classes, because we're not a big participation ribbon type people, you know, like everybody should be included in everything. But how do you feel about?
Well, it's not a competition, by the way. A birthday party is not a competition.
True.
So it's not you're rewarding somebody. I think at a young age, it's okay to invite everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a point where you shouldn't have to force your kid to invite everybody. What is that, 6th, 7th grade maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think
a birthday party is different than a contest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't invited to much. I was the dirty poor kid. And so, but it just became normal to not be invited. So I think I created walls around me where I was like, I don't want to be invited anyway. And then I just kind of lived that life of I knew I wouldn't get invited. So I just removed myself even further from social situations where it probably would have been good in first or second or third grade that they invited everyone.
Right.
So yeah, it's weird. I didn't get invited to much. So that was just a part of who I was. I just knew that I wasn't the cool kid. I couldn't. And you know what? I couldn't afford birthday presents to buy other kids anyway. So sometimes if I would get invited, I would go, I can't come because I couldn't afford to buy them a present.
Yeah.
And that's why I buy the basketball shoes for my basketball team.
Right.
Because I couldn't afford basketball shoes. And I don't want people to have to feel like that. So, but yeah, that's not a participation ribbon thing to me.
Okay.
If it's 10th grade and your mom's making you, well, that's a whole different thing.
Right.
But when
you're that young.
Yeah. It's good. Okay. We talked to Nicole in Texas, who's on the phone. Nicole, what's happening with you?
Hey, what's up?
What's up? What do you want to say?
Okay, so this is probably aimed more towards Amy, but my second anniversary is coming up, and it's cotton. That's like the first year's paper, second year's cotton, and I need ideas. Just really quick. Like, I don't...
Second anniversary, cotton, Amy. Now, as a dude, we all think
shirts.
Oh,
what did you think?
Okay, so yeah, traditional is cotton, and the more modern is porcelain or China. Oh.
So there you go. An autographed picture of China, the wrestler.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, no, that's
or
hard.
From China, the
coronavirus.
A trip to.
So dumb.
Golly, could you have like a cotton shirt. Get him a bunch of shirts that are cool. Cotton.
How about you just not worry about cotton and get him a cool gift?
Whatever you want.
Yeah. These rules were signed in like 1927 when they're doing flappers.
Sometimes it's fun to just look it up and play along with it and know each year what something came from. But you know, my husband, he liked to keep all of his t-shirts from high school, like when he broke records lifting weights or something.
And don't be a hater. You're using hater tone right now?
No.
Yeah, I love
but
that.
But one thing I did one year is I got all of his cotton t-shirts that he didn't want to get rid of, and I made this huge cotton blanket out of them. And so now we still have all the shirts, but they're not just, and it keeps him from wearing them. but I don't know if he has anything like that, like a bunch of like shirts that mean something to him. You could sneak and get all those and form them into a cotton blanket.
That's an idea.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
All right, Nicole. Okay. Good luck. Happy anniversary.
All right. I want to tell you guys, I've been listening since when you were 9 to 6, 7, FYI.
Well, thank you very much. It's a long time.
Wow.
Right outside of Georgetown. So.
Well, thank you. Have a great morning.
Anyway. All right, you too, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's good advice. You did that. That's good advice. You ever use that blanket?
Yeah, we use it.
Does he look at it and relive his dreams and you hate on him the whole time?
No, it's really cozy, though, because if you think about it, like t-shirts and it's washable.
Amy's always like, sometimes I just want to wear my cheerleading uniform. And she's like, I'm the cheerleader. I watch cheer. But she's like, my husband, y'all, the weightlifting record. Yeah, I hate it. I have to constantly stick up for your husband on this show. That's what I feel like my role is. And I'm happy to do it.
Okay.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So the Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor Nation shows, they have all kinds of different types of shows they put out there.
Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor
Winter
Kentucky,
Games, Bachelor Pad. Mm-hmm. So now they're starting the Bachelor for Seniors, and they have put out a casting call for single men and women ages 65 and up.
Is this a joke?
This is not a joke.
This could be amazing.
Hilarious.
Listen, the producers of the Bachelor are looking for active and outgoing single men and women age 65 and up for a new exciting dating show. The casting call continues. SeniorDatingShow.castingcrane.com.
What network will run this?
I assumed ABC.
Ooh. I don't know if that's the case.
I guess it's just the producers of The Bachelor. Does that not mean it's...
Oh, I don't know.
Amy, could your dad do this?
That's what I was thinking. He would... I don't get it, y'all. I don't get it, but my dad would probably actually go far.
He would win.
When you mean you don't get it, I mean you go to his old folks' home now and he's just... The ladies love him?
Yeah, I guess I've never... Like, he's been married 4 times. Like, he had a girlfriend right up until he moved to Nashville. They still talk. In fact, she texted me the other day and she's like, tell my boyfriend I said hi. I was like, okay. Like, you know, he just... Ladies gravitate towards him, even now when he's in, yes.
Why do you think that is?
I do not know. I don't know. Because now he has trouble speaking because his throat, like he can't really talk. He has a feeding tube. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But even with like different things that you would think keep him socially, he feels a little bit different socially. And he's not as active, but he's still...
He's a Romeo on a whiteboard.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I can maybe submit him for this.
What else?
Maybe. Okay, so did you see that Las Vegas changed their slogan?
Well, you know, let me see what their old slogan was. Was it what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Yes.
Okay, what is it now?
Now it's what happens here only happens here. And they're trying to get that to stick. But everybody says, you know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I think the slogan's a little different, though. Okay. It does mean something different.
Break that down for me.
Well, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas means whatever you do there, you don't talk about outside of Vegas. Okay. Like, feel free to go and be wild. Read me the new one.
What happens here only happens here.
Meaning they offer things in Vegas that you really don't get anywhere else. Oh. So you can try to go to Atlantic City or Reno or wherever, but only Vegas offers. It is similarly worded, but means something completely different.
Hmm. Well, they're hoping it'll catch on, and they're rolling out an ad featuring Shania Twain, Christina Aguilera, and Aerosmith, who all have residencies in Vegas.
Again, that's a thing. That's only happening in Vegas, where you can go see those artists over and over and over again.
What happens here only happens here.
You know, if you get like a disease in Vegas, it doesn't travel with you.
No, that's not true.
Is it not? Oh.
No, that's what the slogan's wrong.
Oh.
So I saw this on Instagram and I just thought it was like such an amazing story. A crowd of strangers like rushed to lift a car that had gone over a woman. Like there was a car accident in New York. She was walking and she got pinned under a car. And you see like one or two strangers go up, then a few more. And like over a dozen strangers went and they lifted an SUV and freed the woman. She was taken to the hospital. Apparently just had some bruising. It's going to be fine.
That's the crazy part.
Totally nuts. So just, you know, there's people out there like everyday people that are heroes. And it's cool.
That's it. That's a good one. Uh-huh. Right, is that it?
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh! It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's this pediatric surgeon. His name is Dr. Robert Perry, and he draws original illustrations on his patients' bandages to help make their hospital experience less scary. He said that each drawing takes about 5 minutes to do and that Disney characters and sports team logos are the most popular requests that he gets. But yeah, he'll like do a surgery on the bandage. He'll do the quick 5 minute piece of artwork. And when they wake up, they get to look at it.
That's
and
pretty
it's, like,
cool.
Fun. So yeah, I mean, he's probably a busy guy,
but that's really cool that he spent the time doing that.
Yes.
It stinks to have to be in the hospital. It stinks to have to be in a cast. You know, being in a hospital, I mean, I was in the hospital a lot as a kid, but it's why I joined Musicians on Call as one of the board members, because I know how much it stinks to have to be in a hospital and just trapped in that room. And so what we do is we go and we play, and I'll play to kids or veterans. It's kind of where I go in the hospitals. Mm-hmm. But for that same reason that doctor's doing, like, it's not fun to be in the hospital. And it's kind of, it's depressing, and because something's gone wrong, obviously. You're not able to move around. These kids come out of surgery, and this doctor is taking the time to do that. That is, that's great. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Now turn it up.
Now this is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
I was reading this story about the Super Bowl on Sunday. Fans who bought a suite at the Super Bowl in Miami will be eating well. The Oyster and Pearls package costs $5,000, and you get oysters, caviar, gourmet hot dogs, and a pearl bracelet from the oysters.
Oh, wow.
And I guess if you have so much money, you're buying a suite, you probably have $5,000 that you can buy the oysters and pearl package. What's a gourmet hot dog? What's the difference? What does gourmet even mean? Because to me, when someone says gourmet, I just think they're adding a fancy word to it. What does gourmet really mean? Can someone look that up for me? It says gourmet 18-inch hot dogs. Choose from Cuban with mojo pork, mustard, Swiss cheese, and pickles.
I think that's the gourmet part.
Or the Key West dog with spicy coleslaw, key lime aioli, red jalapenos, and candied lime gummies. Gourmet means a connoisseur of good food, a person with a discerning palate.
It's a person.
Or a kind of standard suitable for a gourmet. That shouldn't be in the definition. The word gourmet shouldn't be in the definition for gourmet.
That means somebody approved it.
That means it's just a fancy word that nobody really knows what it means. Because when people say things are gourmet, I just act like I know what that means. I'm like, wow.
Oh, well, that must be real
gourmet.
Good.
Wow. You should pay the extra dollar for that. When in reality, I don't know really what that means. But the word gourmet shouldn't be in the definition for gourmet. I'm going to read this again.
Okay.
Gourmet, the definition of a kind of standard suitable for a gourmet. You can't put the word in.
Yeah, because it's a person, right?
I don't know. A connoisseur of good food. A person. Early 19th century French, meaning wine taster, influenced by gourmand.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
I feel like this is just a big circle. There is no answer. You just chase it around.
Tail.
Yeah, you're
it's just sophisticated and tasty.
A sophisticated hot dog. Are we... Yeah. Inserting our own. I'll take that. Does gourmet mean sophisticated? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Add the word gourmet to any food or drink and it feels fancier.
Yeah.
More upscale and generally more desirable. But gourmet is less about the food than it is the person who is the subject of the word.
Wow.
Gourmet hot dog? It's not about a person. Regardless, I don't like
clearly
this.
We
I don't like this
it.
Rabbit hole we've walked down, but we've learned a lot today.
Yes.
Probably the hot dog is made by a gourmet chef.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. And then we just heard about the coronavirus. You stay away from raw
gourmands.
Raw, no, this oyster stuff. You should get rid of that.
Morgan, do you think this is funny? She's over there laughing at how dumb we are.
Well, it also says on here that it's like about elaborate
preparations. Okay. And that is like aesthetically pleasing. So, which means that it's an elevated dish, which means it's made really pretty.
So, like if you put flowers in your soup, bam, gourmet.
Yes.
How do you make a hot dog pretty?
Well, all that stuff.
Fancy
lime
relish.
Aioli.
Oh.
I don't even know what aioli is.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
either.
Surprised I said it right. Okay, we've got to get to the morning corny. As you know, we have a special guest doing it. Here we go.
And now, the Morning Corny with country superstar Dustin Lynch.
What did the pirate say on his 80th birthday?
What did the pirate say on his 80th birthday?
I'm 80.
Get it?
Oh, I'm 80.
I'm 80.
I was listening too much to the R.
I'm
80. Like, I'm 80. Yeah. I'm 80.
Oh, yeah.
We punchline again?
I'm 80.
That's good.
All right. There he is. There he is. Nice job.
That was the Morning Corny with country superstar Dustin Lynch.
All right.
Yes, Bobby Bones.
So many times we let callers play the 60-second showdown. I'm going to let you run it, Amy. This
Me?
One. We have one category left.
And it's science?
It is science.
Come on, Amy.
So lame.
Nobody picked it. But you don't want to do it?
Okay, I'll do it. Go. Let's go. What do I win? $100?
Okay,
ooh, of your own money.
If you win, I'll give you $100 to donate to whoever you want.
Okay.
A charity. Not you, not your son. To a charity.
Okay. Amy's house charity.
So we don't do this often with us in the studio. Mm-hmm. Are we ready to play the 60-second showdown with Amy? Here we go. You have to get all 10 questions in 60 seconds. You've heard that. You know the game. You know the strategy.
I know the game, and I know how nervous I get. And
you
know
the strategy
behind
it. I know
how not good at science I am.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go. Question number one. About 71% of Earth's surface is covered
water.
By what? What is the moon called when it's as big and bright as it can get?
Eclipse.
Incorrect.
No.
Herbivores are animals that eat only what?
Plants.
Correct. What is a scientist called who also studies space?
Aerospace.
Incorrect. At what temperature Fahrenheit does water boil?
212.
Correct. How long does it take the Earth to orbit the sun?
365 days.
Correct. The very center of the Earth is called the what?
Core.
Correct. Trees use energy from sunlight to release what?
Oxygen.
Correct. How many bones are there in the adult human body?
256.
Incorrect.
156.
It's incorrect. Sedimentary, metamorphic, and igneous are types of what?
Rocks.
Correct. Herbivores are animals that eat only what?
Plants. I got that.
What is a scientist called who studies space?
Neuros. No. No. But NASA.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You asked me to play it one twice.
You were never getting astronomer.
But I would have now that you said it.
Okay. Don't use that as an excuse.
Astronomer.
Mike, you didn't have it up on the page. I was having to go for my own
gun. Okay. Astronomer. Shoot.
A scientist who studies space is an astronomer.
I'm an idiot.
You did nail the what temperature does water boil.
That's impressive.
212.
And how many bones?
Well, hold on. Let's hold on. Trees use energy. I'm not sure which one you
got
right
that.
Or wrong. Okay. How many bones? 206.
You were close.
You guessed like nine numbers.
You just said 212, though.
No, she
no
had
that
256.
Was boiling. I said 256. I thought it was 256 or 156, but it clearly was 206.
Were those the... She missed three? Is that what she missed?
I missed astronomer. I missed bones.
And the moon.
And the moon. What's the moon?
What was the moon?
I said eclipse.
It was a full moon.
I'm an idiot.
What's the moon called when it's as big and bright as it can
I'm
get?
I'm so dumb.
A full moon.
I wasn't listening. I was just trying to think of a fancy word that involves the moon.
What would you like to say to people when they play this game?
It's hard. I get you. But you have to answer fast. Like, even if you can just get that answer. Like, I knew when he said 71% of whatever, I knew it was water. So I just answered it.
Yeah.
Just get it out so you can move on. It's hard.
Yeah, that's the move. Well, good. I'm glad we did this. You didn't win the money.
But I mean, the ones I missed, I should have known. That's annoying.
I'll post it on my Instagram later today, but my dog only needed 5 Stanley cum until he came today. We're breaking barriers.
Oh, that's good.
Sometimes it takes 27. Mm-hmm. And I'm focused. We train together every day. If you're new to the show, I have an English bulldog, and he is a mess, and I train him all the time. No luck. Have a trainer come to my house and train me to train him. No luck. Have a trainer train him. No luck. A lot of people say it's the breed, but I am struggling. Here's his move, though, because he's not big. He's getting close to a year old, so still a puppy. And now we've got to the point where I can leave him in the house just wide open. I don't put him in his room in the daytime. When I leave to come to work, he doesn't really chew on stuff, knock on wood, so he just chills in the house. And so his move is, in the morning, he doesn't like it when I leave. So when I go to the door, he runs to the door, and he's so small, I can't keep him out when I open the door. So I have to take a treat and throw it across the room. He'll run and get it, and in that span, I've got to run to the door, pull the door back, and then shut it just in time. And now he's on to me. So I threw the treat this morning. He looks at it, sees where it is, and then looks back at me and goes, I'll get that later. Mm. It's just how every day it's something.
Yeah.
I posted a picture on my Instagram yesterday of us walking.
So cute.
We had a talk on the walk.
And what did he say?
Nothing. He doesn't talk back, which is frustrating.
Okay, well, what would you say?
Well, I'm just like, I'm here. Like, we're going to figure this out. It's going to take a while. But my goal will be to be able to, at some point, just bring him to the studio and let him sit and chill. Those dogs are sit and chill dogs.
Yeah.
Apparently, I have the only one that's not a sit and chill dog. So, just had a talk with him. I've got a lot of stuff for him to do.
Did you tell him about all the opportunities?
There's lot of opportunities for him to help other people and dogs.
Yeah.
And I had that talk with him. I don't think he gets it yet, but we're working through it. But I get a lot of advice about my dog. I get a lot of advice.
I also get a lot. I mean, is that similar to the parenting advice?
Man, it is. And I mean, people, you're wrong with whatever you do.
You say one thing and then the messages come
holy
rolling
in. Holy moly. Sometimes on PBS, that Antiques Roadshow is on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll stop and watch one or two things. You know what that is?
Yeah, but I don't watch it. But yeah, he goes around a different antiques.
Not a he. People will come to the show and different appraisers.
Gotcha.
It's way old. Mm-hmm. But it was the original. Let's see how much this is worth.
Yeah.
And so I don't watch it a lot. But sometimes I'll see something in the news that'll remind me to like flip it on. And this one guy goes in back in the 70s. And he's a vet. He has long, long white hair. Old guy. He bought a Rolex for $435 while stationed in Thailand. It was called a Rolex Oyster Paul Newman. Now, back then, his salary was about $300 a month. He never wore it. He said, and I was watching the clip, and he said that he bought it and he was going to go scuba diving with it because those Rolexes can go down deep in water. But the salt water was probably going to hurt it. So he's like, you know, it's too pretty. It's too nice. I won't. So we just kind of let it sit, and it's in perfect condition. So he goes up, and again, remember, he paid $435 back in the 70s for this, and here he is going up to the appraiser. He's standing on the right side of the table. The appraiser's standing on the left side of the table, and it's right in the middle. Here you go.
So these watches, as we've talked on Antiques Roadshow, have become very collectible and valuable. The one that Paul Newman wore, currently at auction, those watches are going for approximately $150,000 to $200,000. Your watch is more special. A watch like this at auction is worth about $400,000. You okay?
So he gets told his watch is worth $400,000, and he does this little fake. He like falls to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys, the appraiser guy, I think has no sense of humor and doesn't understand he's kidding. He's like, are you okay?
Can I get an ambulance?
And so then the guy gets back up. Remember, the appraiser says that this watch is about $400,000. The guy gets back up and the appraiser says this.
I'm not done yet. I said a watch like yours because of the condition of it and the fact that we have all this complete documentation here also. Maybe one of the very few in the whole world that still was never worn. Your watch at auction today, $500,000 to $700,000.
You're good.
No, I'm very serious.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's a great clip.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good show. Again, I don't watch it all the time, but if it's on and I'm flipping through it, I'll stop on it. Theirs aren't that exciting. Sometimes someone will bring in like an old shoe. Well, you're going to be happy. This is worth $11. It's a much lower in scale as like some of the big network ones when they do that stuff. And then you know who retweeted my Instagram story last night?
Who?
Ladarius from Cheer.
He did not.
He did. I posted it. I was reading an article about them.
Yeah, I saw.
And I tagged him.
Yeah.
And then he retweeted me.
He regrammed
my story.
Yeah. Oh, Ladarius.
Pretty exciting. I'm not going to lie. Because sometimes I'll kind of repost people's stories and they'll be like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm like, oh, cool. But when he reposted mine, I was like, oh,
Okay, so like I saw when you tagged them, and then I was like, oh my gosh, what if Bobby starts talking to them, and what if one day they come in and they do like
a cheer?
They come here.
They can throw Morgan number two up, who told us.
Morgan number two can cheer with them.
She posted a picture on her Instagram story because she said that she used to, by the way, she low key was like, oh yeah, I used to do some of that. And we're like, did you? But she did.
It looked legit.
It looked extremely legit.
Yeah.
Used to be a flyer thrown up in there and everything.
But she, there was no even subtle flex from her when we were talking about it initially.
No, she was just like, we had to go to her
and be like, what'd you think? If she was like, well, I guess I'll do that. I used to do that. Crazy.
Basket toss.
Crazy. Let's grab Shannon, who's on the phone right now. Shannon, thanks for calling the show. What's going on with you?
Not a lot. How are you guys? Hi, studio.
Ooh. Try again. You can do it,
not
Shannon.
Not a lot.
No, Shannon. Not try again. A lot. Try again. Not hey, studio. Remember, there's a direct call and answer.
You hello, can... studio?
No. Come on. You can do it, Shannon. We have faith in you.
Hi, Bobby.
Okay, we can just go with that. Okay. But the call is... If you're in and you go morning studio, then we go morning, right? Other than that, we don't yell back.
Like we don't say hi. Okay.
Like you can hit someone with little hammers on the thigh and their leg won't, the reflex won't happen. You hit them on the thigh, it doesn't happen. But if you hit them right at that kneecap, the leg goes boop. That's our kneecap.
Oh. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So try again, Shannon. Okay.
Good morning, studio.
Morning.
Close. It's just morning. It's just not.
I wasn't gonna say it's just morning.
Well,
you're right.
I know.
And I looked at Amy.
Then,
she.
Well, they get.
Amy,
bummed.
Did you not answer?
I did. Okay, but then
I know
I was
it's
like,
a lot of pressure, Shannon. Try again, Shannon. We're with you. Go ahead.
Morning, studio.
Morning.
There it is. What's going on?
Okay.
Bobby, I saw you on the Bear Grylls show.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, with that experience, what did you take away from that in your personal life?
Well, I have always been someone that is scared of a lot of things, but not scared to challenge that fear. So on that show, that was amplified in a very physical way because I had to do things I've never done before as far as jumping off stuff and climbing down stuff. So it was never me going, I'm not going to do it. But in life, I am scared of everything and I do it all. I attack it. I think I came out going, the world is really small. I went to Norway, who I'd never been before, and those people are just like us. And so I was able to travel across the country and meet a bunch of folks that live there, and they're just, the world is so small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never knew that. I'm from Mountain Pine, Arkansas, population 700, where you feel like the world is so big and you will never see parts of it and people must be so different. We're all the same. And what stinks is that there are, I would say we're 87, all of us are 87% the same. There's like a 13% part of us that's a little different. But what we do is we focus on that so much, and that's what's driving us apart with our political beliefs or religious beliefs or X, Y, Z. And the more I'm able to travel because of things like that Bear Grylls show, which sent me to Norway, which I would have never been able to do, I go, we are all so alike. Even in the state that I'm in, which is Tennessee right now, or Texas before, or Arkansas before, even people that I'm close to there and you feel so different than, we are so much alike. But we take and we focus on the things that are different, and that is what is driving us apart. And let's not act like our political leaders are helping us, because they're not. Mm-hmm. Good leaders don't divide. And there's a lot of division right now. And I think when I go to somewhere far away and realize it ain't that far away, it may take me a while to get there, but we're not that different. That's what I am kind of left with. And that's what I come back and try to share. I appreciate that question. I really wasn't expected to go there.
Yeah.
You thought about that when you were going down the waterfall?
No, the waterfall, please don't pee on yourself. Please don't pee on yourself.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
An Illinois boy asked for something surprising for his fifth birthday, bedding. This kid Tyler wanted blankets, pillows, and sheets to donate to Sleep in Heavenly Peace, an organization that builds, assembles, and delivers beds to children in need. His goal was 100, but he blew past that and has donated 125 pieces of bedding. And on top of the donations, he's turned his cause into a family-wide project where four generations of his family worked on a build day for the organization for his birthday. Like, that's what he wanted.
That's awesome.
So let's shout out to him, Tyler Sliz in Illinois, but also to his parents or grandparents that just raised a good kid. So appreciate that, and that's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here we go.
Come on, buddy.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
Let's go!
Did you see the kid on Instagram, the Shirley Temple King?
No, I didn't.
He's probably six. I love Shirley Temples. That's why I was drawn to him. So many people tagged me on him, and they were like, if you had a son right now, this would be him.
He's called the Shirley Temple King?
Six-year-old Shirley Temple King becomes overnight sensation for brutally honest Shirley Temple reviews. All of his profile is him going places and reviewing Shirley Temples.
That's funny.
Oh, hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
You know, I think there's a point in everyone's life and career where you have to go, I think time's passed me by. It's time to pass it down to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And with Shirley Temples, I think it may be his time.
Oh, man.
It may be time for me to give up my crown as Shirley Temple King and give it to this six-year-old. Do we have a clip of him reviewing a short? Here we go.
Hey, guys. It's the Shirley Temple King. And I'm at Hoodoo Brown Barbecue. I wish you could smell how good it is in here. But anyways, I'm here to try their version of a Shirley Temple. And as you can see, there's cherries on the outside and inside, and there's an American flag, USA. So anyways, I'm going to try their version of Shirley Temple. There's the inside, cherries on the outside, flag decoration. There's really nothing to say because it's just a great Shirley Temple. I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Wow.
And he goes to all these places. He was like, we're going to Topgolf to try their Shirley Temple. He's like at the pool and he makes his own Shirley Temples. Hilarious. Yeah, I watched like eight of his videos yesterday.
His Instagram is, yeah, the Shirley Temple King. And he has over 100,000 followers.
What's in a Shirley Temple?
So the really good ones, it's grenadine.
Mm-hmm. That's the cherry flavored.
Yeah.
Syrup.
And sometimes they'll get you with cheaper stuff. Like if they're real grenadine. I like real grenadine with real cherries.
Okay.
And then, you know, some people like Sprite, some people like 7-Up. They're different. A 7-Up with a good amount of grenadine and like four or five cherries is just, and not in too big of a glass. Because if it's in too big of a glass, it starts to be watered down a little bit. And it's way more 7-Up than it is grenadine. So, and here you go. Here's the official definition.
All right.
A Shirley Temple is a non-alcoholic mixed drink made with ginger ale and a splash of grenadine.
Oh, wow.
I always thought it was 7-Up.
It can be. It can be any lemony, limey carbonation. But now I just got curious, what is grenadine? And it's made from pomegranate juice sweetened with sugar.
And then lots of cherries. Like the more cherry that you put in there, the more I believe you put love into that. I go everywhere and get Shirley Temples when I'm, we'll have sugar. But that's my favorite drink. Although last night on my Instagram Live, I did a whole question and answer thing with some folks. And at home, my new drink is Waterloo sparkling water and then grapefruit juice.
Yeah.
With a lot of ice, and it makes the ice, it waters the ice down, and the ice is so good at the end. It's almost like Cookie Crisp at the end because the milk, after you have all the cereal, the milk is good.
Yeah.
The ice is good. And I don't like grapefruits, didn't until recently, but I can't get enough, no. Maybe I'm the grape, I don't have a name for my drink yet,
okay.
Though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what so Shirley Temples are non-alcoholic, but some people want them alcoholic. Do you know if you're at the bar, will you order if you want it to have alcohol?
I'll take my Shirley Temple raw.
Rough. Weird.
No, it's called the Dirty Shirley.
Oh.
That's real.
I bet if you said that, you wouldn't get, they would be like, what?
Dirty Shirley.
You know, if you're a dude and you're not secure in your manhood, you're supposed to ask for a Roy Rogers.
Yes.
Because I think that's the same thing. They just gave it a gang name.
Yeah,
really?
I think that it's with like Coke and grenadine.
Oh, like a cherry Coke?
So it's
is that
dark,
what it is? You're right.
Yeah.
You're right about that. I'm secure with what I am. So I say, can I get a Shirley Temple clean? I've been doing that voice.
Clean,
hey,
Shirley Temple clean.
Clean, super clean. I have a 12-hour flight today when the show's over. I downloaded 4 movies.
Ooh, what?
Well, hey, Mike D, hop on the mic for a second. Mike D has a podcast called Movie Mike's Movie Podcast.
Yeah.
See if you've seen any of these, because there's 4 movies I downloaded. Ford versus Ferrari.
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, you'll like it.
What's it about?
Based on a true story about them building a car to beat the Ferrari.
What's good about it?
I mean, it's Christian Bale, Matt Damon. Christian Bale's really good.
Okay.
I mean.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen Ad Astra?
Yeah, that's a Brad Pitt, plays an astronaut.
Oh, Amy's giving me thumbs down.
Thumbs down, please really? Tell me.
It's very slow.
I think I had that opportunity to watch that on a Delta flight from over Christmas or something, you know, when they have the screens. And I was like, oh, yes, I love it. Because normally I fly Southwest and I was like, free movie. So I see Brad Pitt as an astronaut and I'm like, well, this could be amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Not good, huh?
No, I didn't even finish it.
You, and though? What'd you, my, movie, Mike, what'd you think?
Well, I like very sci-fi stuff and I thought it was an interesting take on it.
Oh. Well, I like it.
Oh, it's so slow. If you didn't like Gravity, I don't think you're going
to
like it.
Bobby, you have nowhere to go. Like Gravity? You're going to be on a plane for 12 hours with nowhere to go, and you still won't watch it.
I liked Gravity fine. Do you know the movie that I liked was the one with Matthew McConaughey? I thought he was weirdly cast in it.
Interstellar?
Interstellar. That made my brain work.
Oh, I don't,
is it like Interstellar?
A little bit, yeah.
Amy's still going, don't watch it. Okay.
Well, okay, maybe watch it and tell me what you think.
I downloaded the documentary, David Crosby, Remember My Name. You haven't seen that,
I haven't,
huh?
Seen that.
Because that's not your...
No.
Your, me,
who's
I'll,
David Crosby?
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Well, or Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Yeah, that's right. That's
or
right.
David...
what does he do? Sing?
Children,
yeah,
well...
Okay, he sings. Okay.
So he's like 76 now, and it's his story. And then Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
I haven't seen that one yet.
But you love the original ones, right?
I'm a big Kevin Smith fan.
Yeah.
I heard it's good.
Yeah. Okay, those are the four that I've downloaded for this trip. I have a 12-hour flight.
I mean, you just go ahead and...
Holy moly. Just go ahead and delete. After I paid for it, just delete Ad Astra.
Yeah. Or I'm just trying to think of anything. Like, you say you've never seen... any of the movies I like Dirty Dancing and Pretty Woman and Steel Magnolias.
Would you rather watch the back of your eyelids or Ad Astra?
The back of my eyelids.
Yeah. Wow.
Does it move faster? let me talk to Jenna in Florida. Is it Jenna? Hey, Jenna.
Good morning, studio. I'm sorry. Morning, studio.
Morning.
So, Bobby, you are the spray... tan king, and I'm actually going on a cruise tomorrow, and
the spray tan
I am
king.
Scheduled to get a spray tan today at 1 o'clock, and I'm pretty nervous because I probably should have done a test run.
Oh,
what
yeah.
are your thoughts?
Yeah, you should have, but you'll be all right. I mean, are you going to one of those booths where they pss and you turn around?
Actually, I'm going to this girl's house, but
you're fine then.
Highly recommended to me.
Then you're
if
good.
It's a person doing it to you know what? I'll take that. I'm the spray tan king. Fine. No, not something I'm proud of. And I really only do it like I did it two nights ago because I have all these shoots and lights and yada yada. That being, and when I get next to Luke Bryan, his is real.
Natural tan.
His is, but he's so tan. I'm so jealous of how good he looks. And I'm like, I can't be Casper the ghost next to Luke. So I get spray tans, right? Not embarrassed. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I'm talking about it. If it's somebody doing it, it's going to be great because they know what they're doing. If it's you having to go into a booth, which sometimes I have to do too, and just turn around in circles, I'm not that good at that. When my hands are messed up, that's when it's me doing my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be fine. She knows what she's doing. That's why you go to pros, you know? I'm going to say relax.
That's right.
Take a deep breath. Get comfortable with your body. The girl that will do my spray tans, she's seen every hole I got.
Mm.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Why do you need to tan all that?
I don't have her spray that.
You can wear. Okay.
I wear underwear.
So she hasn't seen every hole.
Well, it feels like it though.
Okay, but I do have a thing because you said 1 o'clock, and so I would just be careful the rest of the day because you can't get wet for depending on which solution you're getting. Typically 8 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, I don't know if you have to like do anything.
No working out.
No
showers. No sweating.
Like, wear loose clothing.
So I usually do it right before I go to bed.
Right. That's the best time. But I get it. Sometimes schedule like you got to do it at 1 o'clock. But just talk to her about what you need, how you need to handle the rest of the day.
And if you have white sheets, which I do, I mean, I got to rotate mine.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to get wet, what happens? It looks so drippy.
It would show a spot where it got wet.
It'd be like your skin was melting.
Oh.
I'm melting.
Yeah, but you'll love it. It's great. It makes you look, if you can't tone it, tan it.
That's right.
I say. I'm now using Real Housewives quotes. I don't even watch Real Housewives.
That's from Dallas or whatever.
I'll see you at the Strawberry Festival next month as well. Well,
that's
March
right.
1st.
Eddie and myself and our band, The Raging Idiots, are playing the Strawberry Festival right outside of Tampa. We'd love for you to come. RagingIdiots.com if you're listening now in Tampa. Love Tampa. I love Tampa so much. Love that whole area that you guys are so good to us. The Bobby Bones Show. Raymundo's getting married. by the way, congratulations again.
Yeah, thank you.
October 24th is the big date.
Yep.
So he sent an email out to everybody invited to his bachelor party. And it was a big, long email. And Eric Dodd sent it out?
Yeah, he wanted to be the front man, put it all together for me, kind of handle all the documentation, emailing, so I don't have to stress.
Is he the best man?
No, he's on the lineup, though.
Oh, he haven't announced the best man?
No, well, I said Billy. Billy's best man. Eric Dodd's in the lineup, and then also junior bridesman, my nephew.
But is Billy upset that Eric Dodd's planning the bachelor party?
No, Billy doesn't care. Billy's got day-to-days he's worried about.
I guess that's the difference in dudes and girls.
Yeah, because the matron of honor would take on, or the maid of honor would take on the major parts of the bachelorette party.
Well, some people were hating on Ray because he's having his bachelor party in Tunica.
Where's that?
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't really know where that was. Exactly.
Lunchbox is one of the people that doesn't like the
idea.
But
where is it?
It's in Mississippi.
Yeah, oh, okay.
It's
like
it's a boat. It's a casino.
Listen,
Tunica is where we go from Arkansas all the time.
It's like Mexico or something.
But Amy, it's like a 4-hour drive, and you could be in Vegas on an airplane in the same amount of time. And you could, it just makes no sense to go to Tunica when his fiance said, you guys should go to Vegas. And Ray picked Tunica.
I think it sounds different. Like Vegas is done.
Different because there's going to be no one there.
Listen, there's also the chance that we could have run into the bridesmaids and all them in Vegas because they're going there. Why would we book the same city? I believe we're almost going the same month. So we got that out of the way and we're like, now let's go.
No sense at all.
Let's go to Mississippi.
Yeah.
Well,
we're going the same month. We might run into
them. Yeah, we might run into them because we know exactly what days they're going. We would just plan it a different weekend. How crazy.
Raymundo, are you taking a bus all the way from here to Mississippi?
That's still up in the air. But once we're in Mississippi, there is the option to go to Memphis as well.
Okay, so they sent out this long.
This is crazy.
They sent out this long email of what the days are going to look like. Friday, June 26th. Post-lunch check-in at the Gold Strike Hotel. I can say where you're staying, right?
I don't give a crap.
Or where we're staying. I mean, I got invited. I mean, I was one of the 12.
Yep. No, I think we got 16, and we ended up bolstering it up a little bit.
Good gracious.
Oh my goodness.
Did you ever get a hold of Sam Hunt to invite him?
We were joking around about that. I don't think that's happening.
Oh, my gosh. Bobby, are you going to survive? Well, tell us more.
Let me see where I am on this date.
Oh, yeah. You might have something going on.
I think we invited your boy Ahmad, too, so you can chill with him if you're not comfy with the partying.
Well, here's what... Because, again, I'm not a partier, right? But 3 p.m., happy hour, toast to Ray in someone's room.
Oh, great.
That's all it says.
In someone else's room. Let's go to a bar.
Well, yeah, we can book a restaurant. I think Eric Dodd just threw that together.
Afternoon, hit the tables.
Oh, my gosh. It's like a 5-year-old birthday party.
7 p.m., dinner at Chicago Steakhouse at Gold Strike.
That sounds nice.
Post-dinner, clubbin'.
What is that?
Clubbin'.
Oh.
are there clubs in Tunica?
Oh, there's gotta be.
There's gotta be. No research.
Yeah, we're just guessing. Tunica, the club capital of the world.
Oh, God.
Tunica is where, like, all the old people would go to gamble. Because it's a boat. I used to go. And it's like where you drive and you go to Tunica because that's the first water spot that you could find. On Saturday, June 27th, Raymundo sleeps in. That's what it says. 11 a.m., departure on a party bus to Memphis.
Yeah! No. We're going to drive an hour back towards Nashville to go to Memphis. I mean...
Can you imagine how gross that party bus is going to be?
Yes.
Because...
I know there's a stripper pole. I think they showed me some pictures of it this weekend.
Lunch. TBD on Bill Street.
Oh, my God.
They just know what road they'll be having food on.
Well, Memphis is known for barbecue, hot chicken probably, too. I mean, we'll get something like that.
Post-lunch. Raymundo takes Bill Street. 6 p.m. Back to Gold Strike to try to win our money back. And then dinner on your own.
Oh, great.
Just in case
we all get lost.
And I mean, the point of going to Beale Street isn't it to be there at night when it's all lit up? We're going to go during the day when all the... I mean, it makes
You can
no...
change the itinerary. That's not set in stone.
And then on Sunday, June 28th, bye, Felicia. That's the list of Raymundo's bachelor party.
It doesn't sound awful. It sounds fine.
Which part?
I said it, the whole thing. It's the whole thing. Sounds fine.
Isn't it about just being with your friends more so than where you go?
Is Ray happy with it?
Yes. I'm the one that said, I want Memphis. I want Tunica. I've never been to either of those two. And it's drivable.
Yeah. And like to be on a bus with all your boys.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's centrally located. People from Michigan can come. My Nashville peeps can come. I got friends in Atlanta. They can come as well.
I mean, it's crazy, but your friends from Michigan and Atlanta, they can get on a plane to Vegas also. Vegas is easy to get to. Tunica is not easy to get to.
Aren't you married? Like, the girls aren't a thing to you.
It's not about the girls. It's about the atmosphere. It's about everything. The access to the clubs, the good restaurants. Tunica. I mean,
he choked on the word tunica. He said the word tunica. He had a heart attack on tunica.
Yeah, he says, oh, are there clubs in Tunica? I assume there's clubs. What kind of club is going to be in Tunica?
Google, are there clubs in Tunica?
I mean, yeah,
see what pops up.
Put that on my screen.
Oh, wow. I mean, this. Clubs.
Does it look nice, Amy?
There's the Atomic Rose Club and Grill. It says under dance clubs, gay bars.
Lunchbox.
It's there.
Okay.
The Gold Strike Casino Resort is an MGM resort, just like in Vegas.
Okay.
There's a juke joint on Saturday starting at 7:30, a live band that plays while people do karaoke.
That's what's up.
Oh, look at El Tropicana. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I love this place for parties, they say. There's a large open area. There's a place called Classic Hits.
Okay.
Gold Strike has stage 2. You can party all night long there. And they also have 1010, like T-E-N, and then the number 10. Yeah.
I don't know about you all, but I'm getting excited.
Yeah, I like to go to Tunica this weekend.
Woo!
They have an extensive collection of small batch whiskeys and numerous wines.
The only thing I saw that was weird, though, is the whole lunch and then Beale, so the Memphis trip. Bray gets drunk quick.
He drinks a lot, yeah.
So I don't know if he's going to last.
That's why dinner on Saturday night is on your own.
Okay, probably a good point.
Everyone's on your own. Raymundo, thank you for the invite.
Absolutely.
Don't know if I'll make it.
I hope all you cats can make it. I invited a lot of people in the building. Actually, a lot of people in this room, not a lot of people in this building.
You wanted to clarify.
Y'all and McKitty, I think, are the only ones in the building.
Okay, but like, is Memphis really on the way back?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you go there and mostly take a left and go down.
Okay.
That's right.
Because just a thought for some of the people, if it is like a big deal and you're kind of, you could go down Friday, enjoy Tunica and all the fine things it has to offer.
I want you to come. I love that you're on with the itinerary.
And then when you head to Memphis, like if it's just that difficult, you could just continue on after you enjoy the day at Memphis. You do dinner on your own back in Nashville.
So bye, Felicia, on Saturday afternoon.
If
he said,
like,
you can change the itinerary.
It's just
Amy.
It's
would you go? Lunchbox. What if Amy went?
Oh no way!
What?
That would ruin everything.
Oh,
everything.
Wow. Everything?
Well, I mean, being in Tunica, it's already bad enough. So I guess. I mean, it can't get much worse. But
well, a new survey said that guys aren't very excited about bachelor parties these days.
Why?
Because they're all in Tunica.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. All right. Well, Raymundo, thank you for the invite.
Absolutely.
How many people do you need to, like, save money on a block of rooms in Tunica?
We'll be fine. Yeah. We'll have 10, yeah. I mean, if we get all 16, that's bonus round.
Yeah. All right. Bobby Bones. Yeah. Show. What's happening on your podcast tomorrow?
Oh, I have Jenny Allen on. She's the founder of If Gathering, which is, like, a really huge, like, Christian conference. But she has a new book coming out, and it's all about like toxicity, like toxic thinking. And she sees a lot of women that she's working with spiraling into that and just being real drugged down, but how to like get out from underneath that.
Not Jimmy Allen.
No, Jenny.
Jenny Allen.
Yes, good catch. Jenny Allen. So yeah, it's a good, I did all four things with her, and she's just got she's very wise, good wisdom, lots of advice, especially, you know, if you're just wanting to invest in yourself and other women and even kids.
Check out Amy's podcast. New episode goes up every Thursday. A lot of back episodes, too, you can check out, but that's a good one. Tomorrow, Four Things with Amy Brown is what it's called. Four Things with Amy Brown. Check that out. I was reading this story about this drone, and this woman's, like, walking, and this drone's over the top of her. Everybody knows what a drone is. Like, basically like a little mall helicopter, but, you know. It's following her.
Remote control.
It's following her, and she doesn't know who it is. And she's like, what's happening
here?
That's
scary.
So she's being stalked by a drone. So she calls police. Police come. The person flying this drone doesn't give two craps and is just now watching both of them, the police and the woman. She was followed by a drone as she drove, pulled over to a gas station, called police. She waited. The drone remained overhead, watched her car. The police came, talked to her. The drone stayed overhead. Even the police were like, we don't know who's flying that thing. We have no way to track it. Now, wild.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A Maine woman has told her fear after being stalked by a drone. And if it's a human stalking you, unsafe, crazy, just bad news, but at least you know who the human is or where the human. You have no idea if somebody's flying that crap over.
No,
you.
That happened to me a while back. It was outside my house, and it came down to my yard, and I looked at it because I heard it sounds like a bee, you know, like, and it got closer and closer, and I just looked at it, and I was like, what on earth? Like, who are you? And it's like, right in my house.
You yelled, who are you?
Who are you? Reveal yourself.
He Lieutenant Dan'd into the sky.
Who are you?
And then it just went away.
Oh, man.
Weird. Even the cop was, there's nothing they could do.
God.
Like, you can't catch it.
Yeah.
The coronavirus, by the way, they think now didn't come. There are theories now that it didn't come from a fish animal like shop. Okay. That it was actually a virus created in a bio warfare program
no
in China.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The deadly animal-borne coronavirus may have originated in a laboratory in the city of Wuhan, linked to China's covert biological weapons program.
What?
That. This is like a bad movie.
There, I know. This is Bobby's worst nightmare.
Well, yeah, that or being late to work.
Same thing.
To close. yeah, the Danny Shoham, a former Israeli military intelligence officer who has studied Chinese biological warfare, said that the institute is linked to Beijing's covert bioweapons program. So that's, they're going, you know, this whole coming from a market may have just been something they've said to
cover
give it a
up.
Reason.
Oh, it's kind of like, oh, you mean that China's saying? Oh, like Chernobyl.
Right.
That was all, and they're like, well, it's, everything's fine.
Well, they're not saying everything's fine in China, but
I guess
just
not.
Saying,
but they were covering it up. How what really happened
in Australia? They created the virus just now. So what they do is they have to create it from scratch to then know how to fight it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was reading a story yesterday about how they've created it now in Australia from scratch,
gosh,
basically like
scary.
An apple pie.
Yeah.
You get all the ingredients, you make apple pie.
Weird.
They had to do this with the coronavirus, so now they're trying to figure out how to knock it down.
I gotta admit, the fish market thing was a good scapegoat because we believed they were like, I bought fish, of course.
I believe anything.
It's, of course, fish.
If I can't explain it and you give me a really good sign, I'm just like, I gotta forget that. What do I know? What do I know about anything except for what I read and learn?
It's true.
And then eventually I read something else that contradicts that. That's my life. So that's, and my Google Alerts is on the coronavirus right now.
Well, why would somebody do that?
What do you mean?
Like,
if they're developing it as a weapon for war,
right? So
and
somebody
then it gets out accidentally, or?
But do you think it was an accident?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Using
like,
it against their own people.
Yeah, was it somebody that worked there that's like, oh, I'm gonna take some of this home with me, and
maybe it's like when the iPhone gets leaked, somebody's just playing with it and it gets seen.
When you say use it for war, like instead of a bomb, you just like spread that, and then people just get sick and die.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean,
dang,
that's a common. They develop viruses and a lot of stuff like that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's the good news. Tell me something bad. Yeah, that sucks, huh?
Bobby Bones.
Yeah. Show.
A recent study shows that you extend your life by 2 hours every time you work out. I wonder how they even measure that.
I mean, yeah.
They get two people that are exactly the same. Like, you don't work out, but you work out. And they see who dies and they measure it.
But then there's all these other things you can put into the equation. Mm-hmm. Like
genetics,
right.
Probably the biggest thing. Well, it says, because as a kid we used to hear, every time you smoke a cigarette, 10 minutes falls off of your life.
Mm.
Which, who knows how true either one of these is. But I read that. What are you doing? Because I know you switch it up a little bit. What are you doing for exercise these days?
Mostly power walking classes on my Peloton that you got me. Those are fun. And like weight training. So, and like toning. But what about you?
Boxing mostly, right? Because I have the gyms, but I ride my Peloton bike. I rode it this morning at 3:45.
Oh, dang.
Well, because I'm flying for 12 hours today. I wanted to get my workout in.
Right.
So I rode this morning. I did a half hour best of hip hop. And my guy is Alex Toussaint. He may not be on the running one. That's my guy. I get on the Peloton, and if I can find a class with Alex, and he does mostly hip hop stuff, like, that's my dude. Most of them, it's just blah, blah, blah. They just say stuff. I don't get inspired by them.
Oh, my guy's Andy. Do you feel like, well, you did get to meet some of yours when you went to New York, right? You went to a class or something. But I feel like if I were ever to see mine in public, I'd be like, what up? Like, and freak out. And they'd be like, who are you?
I mean, I went on a date with one of mine.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's still funny.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about that. Yeah.
And do
you still take her class?
Yeah, sometimes if it's up, but just the music for the most part, I'll find the music that I like, or I will find an Alex Toussaint class and ride that. Mm-hmm. But I did 30 minutes. It did about 600 calories, which is a lot.
Oh my gosh. You're riding fast.
I ride hard. I don't listen to what they say to do. I don't. When they go, slow it down, climb the hill, I just get on and go as hard as I can for 30 minutes. And I do little tricks. Like what I can do is I ride hard, and then like I have a number that I hit if I ride as hard as I can. Then I try to find ways to improve that by form. Like I never lock my legs out now when I ride. I don't stretch my legs all the way. I keep my legs super compact, and I've realized that can help my time. Then once I max that out, then I find a way to push it. I'm just always playing a game with my head. I got to always push myself mentally with little games.
Wow. I think the interval stuff that they do, that's supposed to be good for you.
I don't know. Like, I just get on and go as hard as I can.
Like, go slow.
I just get on and go as hard as I can. I don't listen to what they say. I just get on and go hard.
Wow. You're like probably, I've never been at the top of a leaderboard. Like, when I'm in a class, I'm always, I don't know, I think I'm in the hundreds, like, hanging out.
Even in the
back.
Hundreds, that's good.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And depending how big the class is.
Probably a couple hundred. Oh. I don't know.
Well, I have a 12-hour flight today. Yeah. So I'm going to go and get on that flight. And I land in Hawaii at midnight local time, how we're working. It's a different time there. And then I have to get up at 4 a.m. So I'll fly all day, try to get a little sleep on the plane, do the radio show tomorrow, and then shoot American Idol for 2 days. It's only 2 days out there, but they're two really long days because it's all the way in Hawaii. We shoot at the Disney Alani, which is why we're out there, because Disney, ABC American Idol. It's a really great place. But yeah, we're going out there for 2 days. So I'm going to fly all day today. See you tomorrow. Thanks to Dierks Bentley and his group, Hot Country. Do we say that?
Hot Country Nights.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Parody band. Well, I don't know. They were like, hey, don't put that Dierks is in the band on the image. But Doug Douglasson, played by Dierks Bentley. Right.
Which is Dierks. Yeah. But when he is Doug, he does not come out of character.
He doesn't come out of character.
He's like Doug, and he talks to you like Doug, and he acts like Doug. Like, he handed us a pair of sweatpants that had a picture of him and his kid on it, but it's not really his kid. It's Doug's kid. But he was like, here's my kid.
At one point, we were talking after their performance, way away from it. We're talking about something personal. I was like, who am I talking to, Dierks or Doug? Yeah. And he was still in all the Doug outfit.
I know. I'm so confused.
And then on Friday's show, Kane Brown comes in. So that'll be really cool. Ken's going to come hang out for a while. We'll talk. He'll perform. So it'll be good. We get about 15 seconds. Anything you want to say?
No. We'll just miss you. I guess the next time we'll see you face-to-face is Monday.
Well, you see me on computer tomorrow.
I know. Well, I mean,
we're still doing this show for 2 days.
In the flesh. In the flesh.
We did this show for 5 years without being in the same room. But
be careful traveling all the way to Hawaii.
I know. That's scary over the water. Yeah. All right. Goodbye. See you guys tomorrow. The Bobby Bones Show.